Shalom, this is Gamliel Shmalo. Echa, Lamentations chapter 4, confronts us with the worst horrors of the destruction of Jerusalem in powerful verse, once again following the tight, relentless rhythm of the alphabet. We're used to reading Echa sitting on the floor in a dimly lit room as part of the Tisha B'Av service. But Tisha B'Av is several weeks behind us now, and we're now in the hopeful month of Elul, with our faces turned towards the approaching new year. The weekly readings from the prophets are from the comforting chapters of Isaiah, so although the 9-2-9 schedule has us reading Echa in Elul, it seems wholly inappropriate. But even now, although Echa may be inappropriate as divine service, as avodah, as Torah, it's always appropriate. And indeed, reading the fourth chapter of Echa outside of the weeks of mourning with a bit of critical distance has actually brought me to the surprising conclusion that had this book of Lamentations not been written, there probably wouldn't be any Jews left today. And let me explain why. The chapter begins with a study in contrasts, how great things were, and how terrible they've become. The people of Jerusalem were precious as gold, and now they are disposable, like cheap pottery. Children who were brought up on dainties, they can't even find coarse bread to eat. And those people who were dressed in scarlet now embrace dunghills. Nazarites, pure as snow, ruddy as rubies, are now blacker than coal. And of course, the ultimate horror, the hands of compassionate mothers have boiled their own children for food. This last really terrifying image quotes the rebuke passages of both Vayikra 26 and Devarim 28. And in fact, many of the horrors in our chapter 4 are fulfillments of those rebukes, including the miserable state of those previously pampered children, the inability to find a place of rest in exile, the swiftness of the enemy, and the cruelty of that enemy towards the elders of Israel. So in short, the images in our chapter 4 are graphic, and the destruction they describe it's absolute. The totality of the destruction is emphasized, at least to me, by the use, once again, of the alphabet. The destruction has been total, from aleph to tav. Frankly, it's hard to be confronted by all this. And I've spent the past several days wondering why the Hebrew Bible insists on confronting us with these horrors, and why in this way. And then I came to the realization that what we are reading is a study of trauma and recovery on a national scale in a biblical form, both for the individuals who live through the destruction and for the nation. The destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, the betrayal of our allies, the capture and abuse of our king, the collapse of all hope, and the realization that our prophets, the false prophets, had been lying to us all along. All this was just incredibly traumatic. Many, many were killed. And for those who survived, their whole self-conception must have totally unraveled. They must have been scared and bewildered. They were completely disoriented. They were set adrift. In her seminal book, Trauma and Recovery, Dr. Judith Herman writes that before any recovery from trauma is possible, the first thing the victim needs is just a sense of safety. I believe that our chapter is first of all an attempt to give the survivors of the destruction just that sense of safety by creating a sense of closure. The violence is over. Everything, even the worst predictions of the rebukes of Vayikra and Devarim, they've come to pass, and they're behind us. The destruction has been complete from Aleph to Tav. And in fact, when we focus on that Tav, on that last letter, which begins our last verse, we read, Tam avonech bat Zion. Tam avonech. The punishment of your sins is completed, O daughter of Zion. He will no more carry you away into exile. So what Lamentations is first of all doing is what Dr. Herman insists is a necessary first step. It gives the survivors a sense of closure, a sense of safety. In the second stage of recovery, the survivor tells the story of the trauma. Dr. Herman writes that a reconstruction of the trauma story includes a systematic review of the meaning of the event. Let me choose a couple sentences for you. Quote, the traumatic event challenges an ordinary person to become a theologian, a philosopher, and a jurist. The survivor is called upon to articulate the values and beliefs that she once held and that the trauma destroyed. Survivors of atrocity of every age and every culture come to a point in their testimony where all questions are reduced to one, spoken more in bewilderment than in outrage. Why? The answer is beyond human understanding. So that's Dr. Herman. And here in the 21st century, we have the benefit of 2,600 years of reflections and explanations. We have experienced 2,600 Tisha B'Avs. But the people at the time, they didn't have the benefit of any of that. They were shattered and confused and lost. What Lamentations did for them and for the immediate generations that followed was to help create a coherent narrative, articulate the values and beliefs that we once held and that were destroyed, and to provide at least some answers to the question why, by quoting extensively from earlier rebukes, and also by pointing out the corruptions that the people must have recognized once those corruptions were brought to their attention. Herman then discusses the importance of transforming traumatic memory through the techniques of, quote, flooding and, quote, testimony. Now, these are behavioral therapies designed to overcome the terror of the traumatic event with the technique of flooding, by exposing the victim to a controlled reliving experience, and in the technique of testimony, by creating a detailed, extensive record of the victim's traumatic experiences, which is then read aloud and concluded with a formal delivery ritual, during which the document is signed by the victim as plaintiff and the therapist as witness. I believe that Eicha in general, and our chapter 4 in particular, is a prophetically inspired document of reorienting testimony that we continue to relive nationally, confronting with open eyes who we were and what we suffered and, to some degree, why. It was crucial in helping us overcome our trauma, and I don't believe we would have survived our exile without it. Ultimately, step by step, letter by letter, it has lifted us up from national trauma to national recovery.